Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're supposed to have a show about direct pay medicine, and I'm waiting for my guest to call in. But in the meantime, it gives us a chance to catch up on current events and specifically what's going on with Ebola, as well as the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, we've got less than a week to go before this election. And this, to me, as I said last week or a couple weeks ago, is a sea change election. I mean, we've got the country's going to hell in a handbasket, to put it mildly. Everybody, I think, is now realizing whether they're, you know, working or not, whether they're, you know, on the government assistance of any sort, that this is not working on any level. And now I've heard on the way in this morning that the government now passed a law, or I guess it's an executive order, who knows, that if you have a surrogate, if an American woman is a surrogate for a foreign couple and to conceive a child, then that child is going to be given all the American rights and privileges. They're going to be considered a citizen and get any kind of government assistance, health care, you name it. But the parents can still be foreign-born, not anywhere tied to the United States except they had a donor. What is the point of having national, you know, borders or anything else? I mean, is this some sort of global citizen we're talking about? This is just crazy. And this is now the second thing I've heard, too, and I'm sure everybody else has, is they're thinking of bringing Ebola patients who aren't Americans to the country for health care, costing upwards of $300,000, I'm sure it'll be more, per patient to treat. And without any congressional authority, without any going by and letting the American people have a say-so in this, it's just a free-for-all. And it's not even reasonable. We're talking about 20 beds in the whole country that are actually designed to take a bio-level 4 hazard illness in the country. If you start taking people in, and, you know, these people are pretty sick. Let's think about Cloward and Piven for a minute, because somebody did mention this, and now I think I see the bigger picture on this. Cloward Piven is overwhelming the system to break it so that you can rebuild it. So the healthcare system is already on its last legs, in my opinion. As a private practice doctor, I can tell you, the writing's on the wall for private practitioners who want to take care of their patients who are still taking commercial insurance or government-based insurance. They won't be in business very long. It's already circling the drain. And the doctors who will survive are going to be the ones who do direct pay, who do fee-for-service, who have some sort of model where they're not taking any money from an insurance company but working directly with a patient. That's the future. And upwards of 200,000 people at this point have opted out of Obamacare. And I hope that number grows exponentially. So my producer's trying to tell me something.
No, I want to ask you something.
Sure. That
I have not heard on any media, period. We heard that the military is quarantining those that come back from Africa for 21 days.
And they're getting a lot of grief, too.
They're getting grief. But do you know the one thing that has not been mentioned, to my knowledge, at all? I have a little bit of a military background.
Mm-hmm.
We know the hoops that Emory and Bellevue and the hospital in Nebraska have jumped through. Have you heard a word about if, say, they're in their screening, that they're quarantined, that and 10 of those military folks are tested and prove positive, what the hell are they going to do with them? I have not heard one single word that we know what we're doing and we're going to send them to San Antonio, we're going to send them here. I don't know of a military hospital that's capable of actually handling this? Do you?
You know, there are about, I think, four centers in the whole United States that are really equipped to handle this type of disease, where you, I mean, bio-level hazard four, for those who don't know, is a classification where there's no cure, that its mortality rate is exponential, and that is easily communicated to other people. That's the definition of it. And when you think about that, and knowing how the military and how the CDC and how any entity that has worked with this type of virus or pathogen, there's specialized equipment that you have to have. You have to have a chamber that someone works in that's completely separate.
So from is there a military hospital that's capable of this?
Fort Detrick, that's one. You know, or the NIH or CDC, or there's one in Nebraska. The rest of these hospitals that they're claiming that are Ebola care centers are ad hoc. You know, they're set up for, I don't even think they've been set up right. I mean, you have to have a negative pressure room. You have to have the proper equipment. If I see one more person with a paper gown and get up on, I'm going to scream. Because Ebola, that's not how you protect somebody from it. So I think our guest has now joined us. Good morning. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, it's Dr. George. It's Dr. Umberher.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We were just talking briefly about the current events with Ebola, with the fact that our healthcare system, which is pretty fragile at this point, has the potential to be really overwhelmed with very sick patients coming through that will take, even if our doctors and nurses could handle it, imagine the manpower that it would take to actually take care of these people and what would that would do to the rest of the healthcare system. I think it would, you know, it probably would give. I don't see how that would work. And I was saying before you joined us that, you know, this is a system now where private practice doctors are on, really, it's circling. I mean, the fact that people are losing reimbursements, their patients can't afford to actually get care because of all these deductibles and co-insurances, which are going through the roof, that the direct pay doctors and doctors who are basically have a concierge model where they cut the middleman out are going to be the last people standing. And that's where you come in. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you introduce yourself for us, please?
Oh, sure. Well, thanks again for having us on the show. My name is Dr. Josh, and we started Atlas MD, a direct care concierge practice, a little over 4 years ago. And I think you're right, with the changing times of healthcare, that we need to adapt to a more cost-effective method. Most family physicians have an unsustainable business model. The cost of providing care continues to go up and the reimbursements go down. And unfortunately, it puts doctors in a difficult position of spending less and less time with each patient just to keep the hamster wheel running. And so we created a system that tries to fix that. The idea is you don't have car insurance for gasoline, why have health insurance for family medicine, especially when we can make family medicine very affordable?
Nice.
We work on a monthly membership, kind of like a gym. It's $10 a month for kids, $50 for most adults, for unlimited home visits, work visits, office visits, technology visits like email, cell phone, texting, Skype, things like that. And then we have no copays for anything. Any procedure we can do in the office is included free of charge. Stitches, biopsies, joint injections, EKGs, DEXAs, ultrasounds, ear analysis, cryotherapy, minor surgical procedures, etc. But something that really sets us apart is we also do wholesale medications and labs. So we're based in Kansas. Kansas is one of 44 states that allow physicians to dispense wholesale medications. So we can get them from the same sources that the pharmacies do, but we don't have to mark them up. So often our medications are a penny a pill. Some medicines are even cheaper than that. So when we do the same thing for labs, most blood tests are in the $2 to $3 range.
Mm-hmm.
Cholesterol is $2.50, $3. So now we can eliminate the need for what most people are using their health insurance for. And you just pay direct cash, everything becomes much cheaper, and now there's not much interference between the insurance company and what the people need. That has the added benefit now. We can go to employers and use that high-value system and help decrease their insurance costs. So an employer can decrease their premiums by 30 to 60% often, usually so much that the employees can get a raise from the savings. So not that we are anti-insurance by any means, but we just need it to work better. You know, you're going to need insurance for car wrecks, cancers, heart attacks. I want life insurance, but I don't want to use it. And that's why it's more affordable. So we need to get to that, you know, a reasonable business model in healthcare that supports good patient care, but is also cost effective. So now we're able to even work with the insurance companies to show them that this is a huge savings, and now they can start to lower the premiums. So we get the best of all worlds. Patients get better care, more accessible care that's more cost effective. Physicians are able to make more money seeing fewer patients, but providing better care. Employers get better care for less premiums, and we manage the risk to the insurance company better, so they feel comfortable lowering their premiums to respond to market forces.
You mean they lower their premiums for the small business that join, or who gets the benefit of the lower premium?
Exactly. Okay. The small businesses are the ones who can't afford you know, even a few $1,000 increase in the insurance premiums per mm-hmm. year. But with the Affordable Care Act, just as an example from our clinic, 2 weeks ago we got our premium update and it doubled. So it went from $1,800 a month to $3,600.
That's crazy.
And that's just not sustainable for most businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll actually move to a self-funded model and expected premiums are in the $1,400 range. So 58% savings from high to low. So I think that's the direction more employers will go. They'll go to ERISA-based self-funded models because those models are exempt from the Affordable Care Act. But also, in combination with the direct care doctor like ourselves, every dollar saved goes back to the employer and the employee.
Well, I want to take a break and get into more detail because you gave an excellent overview of why this is the direction that we should go in, why this is the way healthcare should be delivered instead of this other model where it's a complete crony system where there's winners and there's losers, and the losers overwhelmingly are the doctors and the patients. It's a no-win game in my opinion. I've been writing about it, and I'm sure you've been living it. And I want to talk about how you got into it because you were smart enough to do this from the time you left residency, I understand. So you never had to switch your practice from a commercial-based, you know, model to the concierge fee-for-service direct pay model. And I definitely want to explore that more when we come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Good morning. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. And we're speaking with my special guest today, which I'm really excited to have on, Dr. Josh from Atlas MD. This, you know, I'm just impressed that you left. Most people, I think, most doctors now who leave residency want a 9-to-5 job. They want someone to pay a salary. They don't want to think about opening a brick and mortar type of shingle, you know, hang out your shingle because they're afraid of the business side of it. What was the thing that made you separate from your counterparts when you left your residency?
Well, you know, growing up, my dad was a trash man and had his own business. He's a lawyer now. I actually tell people he's still a trash man because it's less embarrassing. But you know, he ran a very simple, very good business. And I watched that growing up. And then my first exposure to the convolution that is healthcare was in 2000, working for a doctor in undergrad, and it just didn't make any sense to do all this extra work just to prove what you already did. And so then watching concierge medicine kind of from a very expensive end start to transition down to more affordable models, I watched that over the 10 years of undergrad, med school, residency, and said that's the model I want to do. And actually looking at that seems less risky than starting a traditional practice. I got to hire 7 employees. I got to get credentialed with 4 different insurance companies and Medicare and maybe Medicaid. And mm-hmm. I may not be paid for 6 to 9 months. And mm-hmm. then ICD-10 is going to come down and meaningful use. And all of a sudden, no, it just, this seems easier. You know, I'm sort of a purist. I don't want a whole lot of things between my patients and good care. And insurance was creating more barriers than was benefits. And once I found out that, you know, we could do a membership model on a real affordable basis, that meant more people of all income levels could get better care. And then when we found out you could do, you know, that we could work the business model to eliminate copay and do the procedures for free. But then the subjective savings is we found the actual cash price of labs. Oh, my goodness. You know, I had patients paying $80 for cholesterol. But if I check your cholesterol 2 or 3 times a year like I'm supposed to, well, I'm saving you more than the cost of your membership. When I can get your cholesterol medicine for 2 cents a pill, you can break it in half and make it a penny a pill if you want. But now that's not a barrier anymore. And the insurance won't pay me to call or text or email my patients. Mm-hmm. But I can see in my personal life how valuable those technology tools are mm-hmm. for enhancing communication. Good family medicine is good communication.
Okay.
So why wouldn't I offer that to my patients if that means they can get the care they need without leaving work and picking up the kid and driving across town and waiting in the waiting room, being frustrated and unhappy? When I was starting my first year of residency, the graduating third years were quitting medicine by the time I was graduating.
Wow.
It was unfathomable that we could be burning them out that fast. So, you know, I'd rather try for something better and fail than miss an opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm intrigued by this because, you know, as a specialist, we're really on the hook. I mean, I think a lot of specialists, especially ENT, are transitioning into doing a lot more in the office so we can cut the hospital fees and all of the ancillary fees out. And it gives us a chance to have a direct pay type of picture or model for our patients as well. So this is personal to me right now, as you know, in addition to the listeners. So how did you, I mean, once a patient knows that there's value, that they're actually getting something of value, they must have come to you in droves. But how do you change their mindset? Because now patients have been brainwashed to believe that if they don't have health insurance, then they're going to die. I mean, they've done a masterful job of rolling out this Affordable Care Act by using the argument that health insurance equals quality health care equals health equals you can have anything you want for free. That's absolutely not true. So how do you change the mindset from people thinking, hey, this is too good to be true, I can't believe it, so I'm not going to do it, to, oh, yeah. My God.
Great question. In some ways it was hard, in some ways it wasn't. Patients respond to a good message. So it wasn't even advertising, it was education. Most of the people, you know, when you're in business to fix a problem, essentially, and provide a service. And so for a lot of people who don't use their insurance often, you know, they call to schedule their yearly physical. It's 3 or 4 weeks out, but that's okay. They're not in a rush, and they don't have a whole lot of questions, and so they don't mind the bad experience when you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only have to go to the DMV 4 times, you know, 4 times in my life. So it's frustrating each time, but I'm not that, you know, in a buying cycle to change it. But our patients were coming to us because they could see the insurance wasn't working for them. But they couldn't even afford it anymore. You know, we had families paying more than the cost of their mortgage each month in insurance premiums. They said, well, I'll just go uninsured. I'm already healthy or I'm sick, but I'd rather have my $1,400 and be paying for my doctor and my medical bills than be paying $1,400 and being told I can't use the benefit. So when, you know, we had an uninsured woman, mid-30s, spending $140 a month on 30 heartburn pills at her pharmacy, we get the same medicine, generic, 1,000 pills, $55.
Mm.
So it came out to $1.55 a month for her. Plus her $50 membership, she's thrilled. There's no teaching. There's no brainwashing required. Current system's broken. She can't even access care affordably because doctors hardly know what to do with uninsured, let alone cash-pay patients. So she was, you know, frustrated and running into hurdles, and it was hard to get in with her doctor and high cost of medicine, and we were able to fix that. So much so that she'd rather spend $120, $50 for each adult, $10 for each kid, to get, you know, even though they're uninsured, now they have 24/7 access to their family doctor, free procedures, no copays, technology visits, everything they wanted, and their medicine for $2 a month, and $18 back in her pocket. It's just a standard deviation better than the system. You know, Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal, says, you know, in good business, you have to be 10x better. And that's what we strove to be. Mm-hmm. So another scenario of a mom paying $180 a month for migraine medicine for two of her daughters. We get the same medicine, 500 pills, for $27. So the cost of her medicine plus the cost of her family, two parents and four kids, was still several, $50, $60 cheaper than the cost of just the medicine they were getting before. So by being valuable, we demonstrated that the reason people should join right there. And then we could decrease their insurance premiums. Great, if I can save you, if I cost $50 a month, then I save you $51 a month, wonderful. If I save you $200 or $300 or $400 a month on your health insurance, even better. So we worked on fixing both pieces of the puzzle, and that naturally brought patients in.
Now, you have a little bit of a, you did take about four insurances, correct?
We don't take any insurance.
Oh, you don't take any, okay.
No, and I haven't coded anything in 4 years. I couldn't be happier.
Oh, you're like this Pied Piper. You delete everybody. Oh, then my second question would be the small businesses, because, you know, part of the problem with healthcare delivery, and we're going to see this after the Affordable Care, after the elections, when they start kicking off all those people who are getting small insurance, or I should say, insurance from their companies. They held that back because they knew that was going to be so unpopular, people would run away from the Affordable Care Act, but they held it up. Now that's going to come online in the next, I'd say, 6 months, if not sooner. How did you approach these small businesses? Because you're the answer to their prayer as well. And I think most businesses don't want to see their people go into these exchanges. And they actually do want to help their employees. It's value added, and it's about loyalty. So how did you approach them? Because they're a little tough nut to crack, too, I would think, because they don't know of another option.
Correct. You know, it was all that radio advertising and business-to-business things, just pounding the pavement. But then once word got out that we could help, that really spread because people are always looking for value. Our best example is Johnson's Garden Center, a fantastic locally owned, you know, third or fourth generation company here. And they were at a point where, I mean, essentially it was drop insurance or drop employees, you know, because we can't afford both. And they don't want to drop employees. Like you said, they're very loyal to them. You know, there's a mom-and-pop business. They're, you know, built in partnership with their employees. And so for us to be able to go in and say, if you're willing to adjust your insurance a little bit, we'll show you how a cheaper insurance may, in the traditional system, not look ideal, but in combination with us is really, like you said, the answer that you've been looking for. So you get this back to car insurance, you know, catastrophic coverage, because catastrophic health insurance is redundant. All insurance is meant for catastrophic things. So as they saw that it worked and we could show them, here's what we save you in meds and labs, wonderful. And so they said, well, here's what we're spending on meds. And I would just price quote it and say, here's our price. So if you got all the same stuff, but through us, you know, often it's a 85 to 95% savings. Done. And just the medication alone. Patients saw no difference in what they were getting. Mm-hmm. Employer was able to decrease the insurance. Fantastic. Old insurance, you could only see your doctor Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. New care with the E&R model, unlimited cell phone access to your doctor. I'd rather meet you at the office and do your stitches for free Friday at 9 o'clock at night than have you go to the ER and run up a big bill.
Absolutely.
So, and then we just kept replicating that. Now to the point that some of these businesses that have been with us a long time, they're seeing a decrease of 20 or 30% decrease in their insurance premiums each year, while every other business is seeing, you know, 20, 30, 40% increase. So So it's just being valuable. And then that word tends to spread. You know, you build a better mousetrap, the world will be a path to your door. And thankfully they have.
Well, I know we have a couple minutes before the break, but I wanted to ask just briefly, how is this played with doctors in your community? I mean, Kansas City's pretty large, but you are adding, are you an outlier? I mean, I think you probably are, and most doctors are, I want to see 50 people, 60 people, I just, you know, hire extenders just to get, as you said, the rabbit or the hamster wheel going. Are they following your model? Are they actually seeing that there's a better way? Because the more doctors that do this, technically, we can break this system because it's bankrupt, morally, ethically. There's nothing good about it.
Correct.
What do you think about the rest of us?
We've been met, I would say, to overwhelmingly positive response. The only negative response we ever got is, technically, our name is Allison Z, concierge family practice. And a lot of doctors understood concierge to be elitist type care. Mm-hmm. And when they saw that we were $10 a month for kids, $50 for adults, and unlimited services and free procedures and all this other stuff, that was able to show them the misperception I have is incorrect. This is a high-value, low-cost model aimed at the uninsured, the working, the blue-collar, the underinsured, and this is a really great way to do it. And as such, we probably consult between 5 and 10 doctors a week. We do all of our consulting for free. We've started, helped other doctors start about 40 clinics this year with more to come on board, whether starting new or transitioning a practice. We boldly say 80% of family doctors will be in this model within 4 years. It's just a better way. Make me an argument to stay in the current insurance-based system. We can make more money seeing fewer patients, providing better care that's cheaper, and actually is an answer to the rising cost of health insurance. So, in a bipartisan way, the national debate about how to pay for insurance will continue. But if we all agree that this is a free market solution that makes our dollars more effective, however, whatever the politics, then if we can decrease the cost of insurance by 60%, that just decreases the burden on the government by 60%.
Exactly.
So I think we'll see a huge paradigm shift. The AFP, the American Academy of Family Physicians, is endorsing the direct care model. Other national societies are coming on board. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is also supporting direct care heavily. They have a video where I talked that had, it's gone viral with over 3.5 million Facebook views. So, and you can just go to those comments. First Lady Ann Romney posted it a couple of days back on her Facebook page, had 1,000 likes within a few hours. People just resonate to just a simple idea that makes sense. So I think each month moving forward, more patients are demanding it. We started a website, iwantdirectcare.com, for patients to put their pin on the map and for doctors to do the same so they can help find each other.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What's the website
again? You
can see
that the movement there is just exploding.
It's called iwantdirectcare.com.
iwantdirectcare.com.
Okay. Hey, on that note, let's take a break and come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly 4 decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out of pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We're speaking with Dr. Josh of Atlas MD, who has now led and is in the process of leading healthcare in a direction that we want it to go in, where we can stop, you know, being on the hook. I just thought about what you said about the cost of these medications. You know, paying a dollar or so a pill, and we're writing prescriptions for things that are costing $10, $12 a pill. That's an amazing markup that these guys are just robbing people, claiming. And the sad part is the pharmaceutical industry is always claiming that they're poor, which is amazing. And there is no, isn't there a regulation about how much markup that somebody can make in terms of these medications? And the newer ones, they go to town on you. And now I'm noticing there's not very many new medicines coming on the market. They're just combinations of old ones that they change the name and make a new medication out of it. So they're not putting very much investment in a lot of these standard medicines. It's just, they're just gouging people. Dr. Josh, can you hear me? Hello? Oh, I think we might have missed him, or he might have gotten cut off. I guess we'll have to wait for him to call back in.
Josh, there we go.
Oh, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. I can.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. It's the retail side that I would say has more problems than the quote big pharmacy side. Not that they don't have their warts and all, but as a great example, Imitrex, brand name or generica sumatriptane for migraines. They can cost, and you can check this at a website, goodrx.com, but locally costs anywhere from $88 to $256 cash price. Our wholesale price, $6. Our patient's price, $6. And so in their $50 a month membership plus their $6 in med, still saves them $100. To me, it's mind-blowing. And I think physicians have the responsibility to bear there. Mm-hmm. Yes, the others, you know, have their fault as well. But physicians are the gatekeepers of care. We're the ones prescribing the medicines responsible to the patients. The pharmacist didn't take an oath like we did. The CVS didn't take an oath like I did. But I took an oath to do no harm. But because physicians for so long have been under the misguidance that business is somehow bad, when I was in med school, I was literally taught that it's unprofessional, unbecoming of a physician to dirty their hands with business. And look where we're at. But when done well, good business and good medicine go together for great patient care. So a low SES patient who's having problems being employed because they can't get their migraines under control because they can't afford $256 a month on their medicine is now getting unlimited monthly care for the $50, but their medicine is only $6. That $100, $200 savings, that's college paid for by the time, you know, $100 saved each month. That's a day and a half of labor given back to them, to spend on something else. That's time that they can use however they like. So physicians need to take some responsibility and some ownership in the cost of care. You're sending people out for blood work. You have no idea what it costs. I can get it for $2. What's the more moral system? Rejecting sound business and leading to these exorbitant fees, or embracing good business for what it can do, which is make patient care better. As long as we keep, to the business mindset of how does this benefit the patient, everything else falls into place. So, and as patients hear that there's a better way in a grassroots fashion, they're demanding that better way from their physicians.
You know, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, that's, I've said this many times, that nobody's putting a gun to the head of doctors to write these crazy prescriptions to just put a Band-Aid on it instead of fixing the problem. If we would take more responsibility for the healthcare delivery system, we would not be in this situation. And if we had pride, I'm going to put it out there, if we had self-respect as a profession, we would not allow anybody to dictate what we do to treat our patients. We would walk.
You know, I was listening to the original story of how the stethoscope was invented, and long story short, was because a French doctor didn't want to put his ear to the chest of a dirty patient. So then walking home, he saw a game where the kids were playing, stick their ear to the end of a wooden board, and somebody taps out a tune on the other end, and voila, he invented the stethoscope. And physicians rejected it because it put a literal distance between them and their patients. I mean, that's sort of the purity of, I think, our profession, is that we don't want anything affecting how we provide patient care, if it can be helped.
Nope.
And look at all the things now, by default, we're allowing to interfere with how we deliver patient care. You know, I understand that there's economics and times and options in play here, but, you know, my poor patient can, you know, get their Imitrex or whatever the other medicine is in a better way because we're eliminating barriers to their care.
You know, let me just give you, the listeners, another example of the extent we've come from the stethoscope. Now we're getting letters, and I'm sure you've never seen them, so you're blessed, but letters saying that something that we wanted to do for our patient is, quote, not medically necessary. That's the extent we've come to, that you have some entity that gets to decide whether that patient gets a procedure or not, whether they end up in skilled nursing if they've broken their hip or not, whether they live or die or not, and has nothing to do with the doctor anymore. The doctor is a pawn if they choose to be so. If they're taking any kind of paycheck from any of these systems, then they're going to be held by meaningful use, by, you know, standard of care, all this other nonsense that are superimposed, just like the standard payment, which, you know, the usual and customary, which is completely rigged, makes no sense in reality, not driven by true doctor costs. And it's the same principle. You've got this fake system that somebody stands to gain, but it's never been the doctor or the patient in this. And you're talking about skimming money from doctors and patients, charging both for the privilege of denial. That's what we're talking about. And unless people, and I just said about a mouthful about doctors, which I will stand by, but the patients are also just as bad because they want something for nothing. They want you to call in a prescription, not see them. If they do have a copay, they don't want to pay it because their perception is the value of their doctor services is not even worth $10 of a copay. And if they do have a bill, they loathe to pay it as if you did something to them. That's a system that is broken. I have no interest anymore in being a part of that system. Your way of doing things puts respect back in the equation. Doctors respect patients. Patients respect their doctors. And they're all working towards a common goal, which is to get better, you know, to have the patient get better and to heal them, not to just, you know, it's a system where everybody hates everybody. They don't want to pay their payment. They're pissed at the insurance company for charging them God knows what in copay and deductible. You're the front line, so you're getting all the heat from, I didn't know I had to do this, and it's your fault. It's killing morale, and it's along with killing practices.
That's why we lose a physician a day to suicide.
I'm sorry?
I think it's why we lose a physician a day to suicide.
Oh, yeah.
We go into it because I think we have at our core more caring, and then when we're put in a system where we can't care for our patients the way we want to, it's very disheartening.
I well said. Actually, another question for you about it. You know, you've very much made it a one-stop shop in terms of family practice, but how do you interact with specialists in Wichita? If you have to send for ENT or cardiology or something where you need to go outside of your system, how do you bring them into it?
We advocate for our patients whenever we can. So two of the easier specialties to integrate with pathology and radiology. Those are more of a commodity, and we can shop around for those. And so we get about an 80% cash discount on imaging and just under a 90% discount on our pathology. That's making those significantly more affordable. For a biopsy or path result, it used to be $300, now it's $40.
Okay, I have to ask this question. Let me stop you for one second. Let me stop you for one second because I'm going to ask this question. Are these freestanding pathology and radiology centers, or are they hospital-based? I bet I know the answer.
These are independent.
I knew it. I just wanted to put that out there. If you want cheap, if you want cost-effective, you have to stay out of the hospital system.
Exactly.
And they're getting bigger.
And it's funny because I think there's a lot of talk against it. Wichita was on the cover of Time magazine, I think, 2007 or so, six, because we have a lot of specialty hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, you know, so is that good or bad capitalism? They are aggressive. I mean, we can see a $3,000 difference in a surgery center for an outpatient procedure just by calling around. Well, boy, you know, it's worth an hour of my nurse's time to work on the phone to find that, to save my patient $3,000. You bet we're going to do that. Are you going to do that in a model where you have 40, 50 people a day and you're just struggling to keep your head above water?
No.
Probably not.
No.
And that's a great example, too. Surgery is Surgery Center of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Smith has done an amazing job with the cash-only surgery center and that are easily 75% cheaper than the standard price for a procedure. And even to the point that they're starting to see insurance companies refer to them, even though they're out of network, because they're cheaper and better than the in-network providers.
Wow.
So when you cut that red tape, healthcare itself is not expensive. The bureaucratic mess that we've made it is. But we have orthopedic groups who do an amazing job working for us, and they'll give us fantastic discounted rates and do free curbside and consults to help our patients get great care, because they know that encourages referrals. But we have no kickback from any of our referrals. We have nothing to hide from our patients. We'll help them go wherever they want. And that trust and that honesty is the only thing we have with our patients. So we always want them to know that we are doing what's best for them. So one of my buddies that has become a friend owns one of the imaging centers. And I'm sorry, they're not the cheapest. So they don't get the majority of our business. But they're more expensive because they keep their techs there longer. Other places will send their, CAT scan MRI techs home if there's no one there to mm-hmm. save money. Well, sometimes when I need an image, at the end of the day, I can pay a little bit more and get it right away. And so that's the beautiful market forces at play.
Mm-hmm.
So they may cost a little bit more, but they're always there.
But the value is there.
Of course, an amazing job.
So the value is there.
My responsibility is the patient first.
Absolutely. On that note, let's take our last break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Thank you, and welcome back to Medicine on Call. I was just looking at the website, iwantdirectcare.com, and it's really, really user-friendly. I think people need to go on that and look for other clinics and other doctors around the country who can offer this. I've said this many times on the show, but the patients need to make the decision to vote with their pocketbooks and their feet. And when the established system sees that they're not the only game in town, they can't just abuse doctors and patients and get away with it, they will come to us, and that's when we win. Forget about waiting for Congress to change the Affordable Care Act. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't care who's in power. It's about us. As long as we have the freedom to opt out of the system to go a direct pay pathway, that's what we need to do. And those of us who want to be in Obamacare, have at it. Good luck to you. But for those who are critical thinkers, take responsibility for their health, want a doctor who's going to be their advocate and not an agent for the government, then this is a no-brainer. You have to make the change. The only thing that, again, I wanted to ask you is this: primary care is the foundation of our healthcare system, and you guys are the quarterbacks, but you still need the rest of us as specialists to enter with you so that that the interoperability can still be cost-effective. Is there a way, or have you guys thought about adding into this direct pay system doctors like myself who are specialists who want to play this particular game with you?
I think almost all outpatient care can be made to be more affordable because, again, the only thing we're eliminating is the bureaucracy of mm-hmm. it. And med, labs, staff time, all these things can be made a lot cheaper when we do it in an appropriate business sense. And we've helped endocrinology move into this model. There's some cardiologists doing direct care, concierge care, because you know, those people have a need that's ongoing. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done sample business models for a lot of specialties. OB is another great example, women's health, where for family medicine, it's probably 95% membership, 5% fee-for-service. Dermatology is probably 10% membership, 90% fee-for-service. Surgery is obviously going to be majority fee-for-service. But there is a happy mix in there for most specialties where we can make all of that more effective. A great example is just, you know, endocrinology, who is being bogged down by non-urgent cases or non-complex cases, but only because the family doctor has 7 minutes to spend with them, mm-hmm. or the cardiologist, or the neurologist. Well, instead of managing your migraines, I'm just going to kick you down the road. I don't get paid to spend more time with you in the current system. How many people can I move through in a day? It's cattle. It's a numbers game. And so that's encouraging physicians to over refer. Rubicon MD is a great example of a software solution where they're using digital consults, doctor-to-doctor consults, to decrease that burden. They show a 40% decrease in insurance costs, while at the same time finding a reimbursement model for the specialist to be involved in that patient care, but pre-appointment, pre-insurance. And so that you know, easy questions, common questions that specialists can be involved in, but not be wasting time on insurance paperwork for. So I see a lot of this, just like LASIK surgery, coming together. We'll each find a solution for our piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, hospital care, cancer care, those are some things that are just always be expensive. Doesn't necessarily have to be when you decrease the imaging or labs or meds low, but that is what insurance is for. Mm-hmm. My daughter was born unexpectedly with Down syndrome, and we had large hospital bills. That's what insurance is for. That's the appropriate piece. But we can make the majority of outpatient care, specialty or you know, primary care, more affordable.
I think that's the answer, too, to bringing down the healthcare costs for insurance. The fact that they cover the first dollar, it's unnecessary, and it makes everything more expensive. I remember, I mean, it's not too long ago when I graduated from residency, you know, when I spoke with my when I used to shadow my attendings, the patient paid cash in the office. They didn't pay, they didn't whip out their insurance card unless they had to go for a big test or they were having surgery. And it was cheaper. I remember that it wasn't about, I can't do, I mean, this is what it's come down to. Again, you're so removed from this, and I want to be you, you know, where people come into your office.
Well, we offer all our consulting for free, so any doctor who wants to, send them our way.
Well, I need to call you then after the show. We need to talk. But I remember having people coming into the office now with their insurance card, waving it, you know, the little plastic credit card. And then they find out that their deductible has to be met now before the copay kicks in. It's the opposite. It used to be you'd have a copay unless something happened, then you engage the deductible. It's now flipped. And they walk right out of the office because they can't afford to be seen.
They can't afford it.
Yeah. I mean,
and
this
in
is
our
awful.
Model, they get unlimited services. They're billed at the end of the month. They get an invoice at the end that they don't have to pay to the end of the next month. So they could, you know, we know that, you know, again, come from humble beginnings. Dad was a trash man, and you know, now running for governor, like we've talked about. But he picked up people's trash when they couldn't afford to because it was the right thing to do as a business. Mm-hmm. Because it was a small percentage of the people who fell on hard times. And doctors can be charitable. We have our scholarship patients. And I know that you don't always have money at the same time you're sick. So don't pay a copay. You don't have to pay for your meds and your labs when you get them. I'll trust you enough that you'll pay me the 66 cents for your cholesterol medicine next month. But I'll help you out right now. And I think when in healthcare is such a low trust industry, we sacrificed that to filling out insurance paperwork and suffered for it. So when we put that patient first again, they pay, mm-hmm. they appreciate it, you and it gets us all back to a better model.
Oh, absolutely. And it gets back to a care model and that, and, you know, healing model as opposed to an adversarial one. I mean, medicine is an art. It's not just a science. And some of it is hand-holding and actually listening to somebody tell you what they think is wrong with them and then coming to the answer together. That's 99% of what makes medicine so special. That's gone.
You're so right. And you know the data on unnecessary testing like I do, but part of it is doctor fear and patient fear because there's no trust. Doctors overorder because they don't know this patient. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, they're on their schedule for the day. Patients want more because they're trying to get whatever value they can out of their insurance. It's easy to do than to talk. I'd rather, you know, our minimum visit is 30 minutes, but our average appointment is 45. I'd rather talk to you every day for a week or two about the MRI you think you need for your back until you feel better than order the $400 discounted, 80% discounted $400 MRI. Because a little bit of hand-holding, a little bit of attention, a little bit of trust goes a long way. I'm spending your money. I want to be responsible with it. If I save you $400 on a test you don't need, I'm helping you. That's, you know, half a year's worth of membership group. So, so yeah, you're right. That personal touch is the cost-effective thing that the healthcare system has missed for so long.
Absolutely. And because you're a number and you're not a person anymore, it's easy to just warehouse you and use, you know, metrics. You're a certain age, you've got this much time left, and, you know, you're no longer productive. So we're not going to spend a lot of resources on you. It makes it easy when you have a computerized, algorithm-driven system to say that, as opposed to someone who's known you, your children, they've grown up with you as a physician. You're going to do whatever you want. What do you need to, and with the patient in concert, to figure out the best course of care? That's complete, and it's cheaper. That's the other thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I went to a gentleman's house this weekend because he fell. He's an Alzheimer's patient, and his wife's taking care of him, but the goal is to stay in the home. And, you know, but I would take care of those people for free. They're so sweet and gracious. But it saves an ER visit because I'm not just the doc on call for 4,000 patients, you know, or for four doctors, which could be, you know, 20,000 patients. And I don't know who you are, and I'm worried about being sued. I'm just going to tell you, oh, you fell, you're demented. I don't even know. But yeah, I know my patient. A 20-minute, you know, round-trip car ride, go see them, lay eyes on them, make sure he's okay, saves, you know, what could easily be an admission from a nervous ER doc. So, you know, we got to get back to our roots.
I think you're absolutely right. How can people reach you?
We are as accessible as possible. Facebook.com/AtlasMD, Twitter at AtlasMD. They can email me at hello@AtlasMD. At doctors, I'll give them my cell phone, my email. They can call, text. Like I said, we have made this as turnkey as possible for docs. So I'll tell them what to buy, where to buy it, how to do it, do all the consulting. For patients, if they have questions, they can email us as well. They can go to the website. I want direct care and look for doctors in their area. Talk to their legislators. Talk to their doctors. Mm-hmm. This is a grassroots movement. If this is going to work, it's not going to work from politics down. It's going to work from patients up.
Well, I'm going to be a part of this with you, and I look forward to speaking with you so that I can, you know, join this movement. I've been talking about it, but now you've given me just even more impetus to do it. And I want to thank you so much for everything you do, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at AAPS meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise.
Well, once again, this is Dr. Josh from AtlasMD. Go to his website. Go to iwantdirectcare.com. Follow him on Twitter and actually be part of the movement to change this bankrupt healthcare system. Thanks so much again for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.